Chapter 7. Waiting for Dark. No one saw Firedrake as he made his escape along the canal. Twice boats came toward him, but they were chugging through the water so noisily that Firedrake could hear them a long way off and was able to dive in good time, deep down to the bottom of the canal where the garbage got stuck in the mud. As soon as the dark shadows of the boats had passed over him and disappeared, the dragon came up again and let himself glide on. Gulls circled over his head, screeching, until he shooed them away with a soft growl. At last, he saw a bridge beyond some tall willow trees. Their branches hung low, floating on the water. Broad and massive, the bridge spanned the river. Traffic noises drifted down from it, but the shadow it cast was as dark as the mud on the bottom of the canal, and offered the dragon shelter from prying eyes. Firedrake raised his head from the water and looked around. There was no one in sight on either the water or the bank. The dragon crawled up on land, shook the dirty water off his scales, and settled among the blackberry bushes growing in the shade of the bridge. He licked his scales clean and waited. Before long, he was half deafened by the noise overhead, but even worse was his anxiety for Sorrel and the boy. Sighing, Firedrake laid his head on his paws and looked at the water, which reflected the gray clouds overhead. He felt lonely. It was an unfamiliar feeling. Firedrake had not been alone often, and never in such a strange gray place. Suppose Sorrel didn't come? The dragon raised his head and looked back along the canal. Where could they be? It was odd. Firedrake let his head drop into his paws again. He was missing the boy, too. Were there many human beings like Ben? Firedrake thought of the two men who had grabbed the boy, and the tip of his tail twitched with anger. Then he saw the boat. It came drifting down the canal toward him like a nutshell. The dragon quickly stretched his long neck out of the shadow of the bridge and breathed a shower of blue sparks on the water. When Sorrel saw him, she hopped about in such excitement that the boat swayed perilously, but Ben paddled it safely to the bank. Sorrel jumped out onto the slope and ran to Firedrake.
"Hey!"
she cried.
"Hey, there you are!"
Flinging her arms around his neck, she nipped his nose affectionately. Then she dropped to the grass beside the dragon with a sigh.
"You've no idea how awful I feel," she groaned. "All that rocking about, my tummy's churning as if I'd eaten a deathcap mushroom."
Ben tied the boat to a tree and shyly came closer. "Thank you," he said to the dragon. "Thank you very much for chasing those men away." Firedrake bent his neck and gently nuzzled the boy. "What are you going to do now?" he asked. "You can't go back there, can you?"
"No."
Ben sat down on his backpack, sighing. "That factory won't be left standing much longer. They're going to blow it up."
"Oh, you'll find somewhere else to hide."
Sora looked round, snuffling, and picked a few leaves from the bramble bushes.
"I know. Why not move in with Rat's cousin? He's got plenty of room."
"Rat's cousin?" cried Firedrake. "With all the excitement, I'd entirely forgotten about him. What did he say? Does he know where we must look?"
"Well, sort of."
Sorrel stuffed the leaves into her mouth and picked herself another handful.
"But we have found it out ourselves anyway. One thing's for sure, we have a long journey ahead of us. Are you certain you don't want to change your mind?"
But Firedrake only shook his head. "I'm not turning back, Sorrel." "Exactly what did the rat say?"
"He gave us a map," said Ben. "The map shows it all. Where to fly, what to watch out for, everything. It's great."
Excited, the dragon turned to Sorrel. "A map? What kind of map?"
"Well, just a map."
Sorrel took it out of her backpack.
"There you are."
She spread it out in front of the dragon. "What does all that mean?" Firedrake looked at the tangle of lines and marks, baffled. "Can you read it?"
"Of course," said Sorrel, looking important. "My granddad was always drawing things like that to help him find his way back to his mushroom stores."
Dragon nodded. "Good." He put his head to one side and looked up at the sky. "Which way do I fly first? Straight east?"
East. Wait a minute."
Sorrel scratched behind her ears and bent over the map. Her furry finger traced Gilbert's golden line.
No, I think we go south. First south, then east, he said. Yes, that's exactly what he said.
She nodded.
I'm certain he did.
Sorrel, said Fardrick, are you quite sure you understand what these scribbles mean?
Of course I do,
Sorrel looked offended.
Oh, bother these human clothes.
Crossly, she pulled Ben's sweatshirt over her head and slipped out of the trousers.
I can't think properly with the stuff on.
The dragon looked at her thoughtfully. Then he stretched his neck, and he looked at the sky. The sun's setting, he said. We can start soon.
Thank goodness,
Sorrel folded up the map and put it in her backpack.
About time we left this city. There's no place for a dragon and a brownie.
Ben picked up a couple of stones and chucked them into the dark water. Don't suppose you'll be coming back, will you?
Why on earth would we want to?
Sorrel stuffed a few extra bramble leaves into her backpack.
I certainly don't want to see that conceited white rat again.
Ben nodded. Then I'll wish you both luck, he said, throwing a final stone into the water. I hope you find this Rim of Heaven place. Firedrake looked at him. Ben returned the dragon's glance. You'd like to come too, wouldn't you? Asked Firedrake. Ben bit his lip. Well, of course, he muttered, hardly knowing where to look. Raising her head, Sorrel pricked up her ears uneasily.
What? She said. Come with us. What are you two going on about?
Firedrake took no notice of her, but just looked at the boy. It will be a dangerous journey, he said. Very long and very dangerous. You may never come back. Wouldn't anyone here miss you? Ben shook his head. I'm on my own. I always have been. His heart beat faster, hardly daring to believe it. He looked at the dragon. Would you really let me come too? If you like, replied Firedrake. But think about it carefully. Sorrel often gets very bad-tempered, you know. Ben felt weak at the knees.
Oh, yeah, I do know, he said, grinning. He was feeling quite dizzy with delight. Hang on half a sec.
Sorrel pushed her way in between them.
What's gotten into you, Firedrake? It cannot possibly come.
Why not? Firedrake playfully nuzzled her furry stomach. He's been very helpful. We can use all the help we can get, don't you think?
Helpful!
Sorrel was so indignant, she almost fell over.
He's a human! A human being! Only pint-sized, but still a human being! And it's the human's fault we're not at home in a nice warm cave! It's their fault that we're off on this crazy quest, and now you want to take one of them along?
Yes, I do. Firedrake rose, shook himself, and bent his neck so low that the brownie girl had to look him in the eye. He's helped us, Sorrel. He's a friend. So I don't mind whether he's a human being, a brownie, or a rat. What's more, he added, looking at Ben, who was standing there, hardly daring to breathe, what's more, he doesn't have a home now any more than we do. Isn't that true? He looked inquiringly at the boy. I never did have a home, muttered Ben, looking at Sorrel. The brownie bit her lip and dug the claws of her toes into the muddy bank.
all right, she murmured gruffly at last. I'll say no more, but he sits behind me. I insist on that.
Firedrake nudged her so firmly with his nose that she fell backward into the dirty grass. He sits behind you, Firedrake agreed, but he's coming with us.